Hi, I'm Desi Arnaz Jr. Welcome to Letting Go with Guy Finley. Guy is the best-selling author of Let Go and Live in the Now and is the founding director of nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation. And now, here's Guy Finley.
I have an important set of ideas to give you. And, of course, it's appropriate that at this time of year, we all are reminded of two things. We're reminded of the fact that there is this beautiful idea that lives in the world, worldwide, I might add, that a person can begin a new year. And then the unseen part of that idea that a person can begin a new year, and that part which most of us never talk about, is, boy, do I need to start a new year. Now, a little information will go a long way, particularly in our education, those of us who aspire to be a different kind of human being. And by a different kind of human being, I don't mean someone who dresses differently, and I don't mean someone who has a house with special things in it, and I don't mean someone who's got a handsome hunk or a gorgeous Sheba on his arm. Gorgeous Sheba? Well, when you're in the flow, it's hard to stop. When I talk about being a different order of human being, I'm talking about being the kind of man or woman who actually lives his or her own life. And when I say actually lives his or her own life, I mean that that new order of human being that we are all intended to become, that man, that woman lives from a presence that is present to them, within them, that reaches out, takes in the world it sees, and never compromises or contradicts itself. It doesn't cause other people pain. It doesn't produce problems for itself, and it certainly doesn't add to the weight of other people's shoulders in its wish to escape self-created conflict. So when we talk about making a new start and beginning a new year, we're talking about a bit of honesty that must precede the true wish on our part to participate in a completely different order of life for all of the days forthcoming. And I want to just throw this in because I think it does add a bit to a person's picture, the knowledge of things. You know, one of the reasons that it's a new year, and most people don't know this, is that our solar system and all of the systems to which our solar system belongs, they are all great wheels. And essentially, each and every one of the spokes and each of the wheels themselves and all of the wheels within the wheels, they are never not turning and returning to almost exactly the same place they began. Because even though the wheel turns, the wheel will return, in essence, to exactly where all of the planets were when it started. But the wheel itself is turning in a larger system of wheels that are turning that almost return exactly to their spot, except all of those are in movement. And without going into details, part of that and understanding that to some degree allows a person to realize that change is possible. Because if it weren't for the fact that it almost returns exactly, nothing would change. In our arrogance, I'm afraid that we believe that we are the creators of our own lives. We are not the creators of our own lives. We ourselves, in all of the many ways in which we live, which we'll talk about as we go into this material, in all of the different bodies, and you don't have to make that complicated if you want, just think psychological, emotional, physical, that in all of the ways in which we meet life, all of these aspects of ourselves are themselves being impacted all the time by all of the movement within which we live and within which we further stir ourselves. Because not only are we being acted on, but we're acting on others, aren't we? We act on the planet that we live in. Now, The title of this talk is Discover the Missing Element You Need to Make a New Start in Life. How many of you suspect there may be a missing element? And we know that there's a missing element because how many of us have said, by God, I'm starting all over? And you know, they're starting all over when you see somebody drive by in a Porsche and you're in a Ford. And you say to yourself, by God, I'm starting over because, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? But that's not the kind of starting over I'm talking about. There's also the kind of starting over and the wish. Let's clarify that. There's also the wish for starting over when you have crushed somebody's spirit with your cruelty. There is the kind of wish to start life over when you wake up from that dream you had and you see that there are things living inside the depths of yourself that are unimaginable. You wish for a new start when some habit that you have finally proves itself not to be a pleasure but a compulsive need that makes you a slave of it, and you know, you don't have to think to yourself, am I supposed to be a slave? I know I'm not supposed to be a slave. I want to start my life again. And in the various ways and forms in which the evidence appears to us that we need to make a new start in life, by a magical formula created by the divine, we are presented with opportunities and possibilities that if we didn't have prior to that. Because you see, a person can't find something about starting over unless it really is important to them. And for lots of us, starting over is only as important as the moment in which we feel that flash. And then the flash is gone, and then starting over doesn't exist for us anymore. How many of you ever thought to yourself, you know, by God, I'm going to start a new diet, and then you go by the pastry shop? That's a small example of what I'm talking about. No more sugar for me. Uh-uh. No, no, man. And chocolate? Ha, I laugh in your face. And then say, want a candy bar? Okay. Thank you. Because it's been 4 minutes since I had something sweet to eat. So why do we want to start over? And I think that the simplest way we can say it is because to one degree or another, it is inescapable the fact that we're self-sabotaging. You know, most people don't really take that idea very seriously, but we're going to because we need to. Because the clearer that we can become as individuals on, listen, not how we do it, and not even why we do it. Who? Who is doing it? What on earth? See, this is the problem. People say, yeah, you know, last night when I had a binge last night and I almost hit somebody with my car last night. I lost my temper and I made my wife cry yesterday afternoon at work. I stole some pads and paper and I mean, isn't that terrible? And then that's it. For people, but not for people that want to change the kind of human being they are and start their life new. Because don't you understand, you should by now, patterns don't change themselves, they strengthen themselves. If you learn one thing in your whole life, recognize that patterns do not change themselves by themselves. A pattern actually strengthens itself. The evidence of it physically may appear strangely enough in odd times, but interiorly, the root of thoughts and feelings and the forces that create those ruts inside of our psychic body, they are deepening all day as long as those patterns are not met properly with the possibility of changing them, which is what we're talking about, sabotaging. How do I stop sabotaging myself? Now, let's do some practical work for a minute. Can you all think of a way, y'all? Can you all think of a way? I'm channeling some strange Texan. Can you think of a way in which you fairly regularly sabotage yourself? Wherever you are, just take a minute. And for heaven's sakes, let me explain something quickly. Do you know that you can sabotage yourself thinking about how you sabotage yourself? You say, yeah, I am the worst person that ever lived in India. Now I'm channeling Indians. How do I sabotage myself? And it should be clear, but if it's not, we'll make it so in a split second. I sabotage myself when something, we'll leave it in quotes, something in me acts against me. Now, for most of us, we have a passing understanding of an idea like that because we recognize that we don't want to hurt people. We don't want to hurt ourselves. We don't want to be a burden to this planet. We don't want to do a lot of the things we do, but we still do them. Something in me acts against me. Now, the key phrase here, against me. How can a human being have something inside of him or her that acts against him or her? It's evidence of a rudimentary conflict that exists inside of the human being. And it is the absence of the knowledge and agreement with the fact of that that really sits at the root of why the world is in ruins. Because nobody will admit to themselves that within themselves there is something that acts against themselves, and not just from time to time, because this is the important point up to now. The potential for punishing myself and anyone else that happens to be in the immediate area of whatever that particular quality is that comes out, I'm a walking time bomb. Now, how many of you will admit you're a walking time bomb? Because I can hear the ticking even if you can't. And if you don't think you're a walking time bomb, walk up to somebody and say, you're about to go off as soon as I tell you this next thing. And before you even tell them, they'll go off. Try to understand the idea that something works against us within ourselves and that we don't see it. Now, next part of this, something inside of me works against me. Now, the important thing is, what is this me that this saboteur is working against? Try to follow this now. Here we know, agreed, yes or no, we'll call it the sabotaging self, huh? There's a self, a certain part of myself, under certain circumstances, and by God, it talks, it walks, it speaks, it pushes, it eats. It does things against me and against others. Who is the me that it is doing this against?
Love, the brightest and most powerful force in the universe. Love melts stress and cancels resentment. It gives birth to kindness and is the fuel of success. Love is at the heart of every great relationship and is the true essence of lasting peace. In his new book, Apprentice of the Heart, best-selling author Guy Finley explores lessons in life only love can teach. This breakthrough book contains the tools you need to strengthen and deepen all of your relationships with family, friends, coworkers, and with the present moment itself. Apprentice of the Heart, available now at GuyFinley.com and fine bookstores everywhere. Joseph Polansky of Diamond Fire magazine writes, "The reader is lifted up to a whole new realm, a rarefied region of the soul." To order your copy of Guy Finley's Apprentice of the Heart, visit GuyFinley.com. That's GuyFinley.com. The relationship your heart longs for already exists.
Who is this me that recognizes at the time that I wish I wasn't doing this, but I can't stop it, or that I just did what I wish I hadn't have done, and now I need to make reparations, and I'm going to make a new start? Who is the me that wants to make a new start? That's the question we've been leading up to. And the answer is, please, if you'll listen, the answer is, that me is, for all intents and purposes, the best understanding I have of what is good. Isn't it? Look, it can't be, in that moment, the part of me, in quotes, that agrees with what is cruel, with what undermines, with what tears down. Something in me recognizes that I need to make a new start because something in me is sabotaging my relationships with others and myself. So what is this me that recognizes that things are ruining its life? And the answer is that me, for all intents and purposes, is the best understanding I have of how I ought not be sabotaging myself. Because, you know, if you live with thieves, they don't talk about how do we stop stealing. You won't hear that at a crime dinner. I've been thinking about it, boys. How do we stop stealing? And they pull out their 44s. No, something in us knows that something isn't right. And it doesn't want to be a part of what isn't right. Now, this part of me that knows that it ought not do what it finds itself being taken through represents a world. Now take a deep breath. Represents a world. And what do I mean by it represents a world? It represents the world of its understanding. Can anybody do any better than they understand? In fact, most of us can't even do the good that we do understand, can we? Because there's something that seems to be stronger than our best understanding in the moments where, if we had our best understanding, we wouldn't be doing the betrayal of ourselves or others that we are. So this best understanding I have, the me that it represents, is a world. And how do we know it's a world? Because we know, all of us, to one degree or another, that it's possible to live in a world of broader understanding. It's possible to live from a part of myself that doesn't sabotage itself the way it used to under certain circumstances. And all of us have been through that to some degree. People who get captured in the world by this, that, or the other, one day absolutely can't take part in what used to do that to themselves, and they enter into a world that is not only broader than the understanding that sabotaged them, but because the understanding becomes superior to the self that sabotaged them, they enter into a new world of themselves. One that will not allow, one that, now listen, because we're getting to a key point here, one that brings an end to the world that formerly dominated them. Now we're introducing a very powerful word, simple word, but right and necessary when it comes to the idea of what does it take to make a new start in life. This is the missing element. To make a new start in life, to belong to a broader world whose understanding is superior to what sabotages us, requires that we end a world before we begin a new one. This is the key. That idea is the first step in the magic of changing the nature within ourselves that each and every one of us has. Everybody tends to think, especially on dark days, oh, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. If you knew what lived in me, you would say, oh, can I give you chocolate? You know, can please feel bad for me? No, let me tell you something. We as human beings share in the darkness and we share in the light. It is not your darkness and it is not your light. But it is your right to understand the nature of that which sabotages you. And it is your right to ask for the light, and we'll make it simple, of understanding. The light of a new world by which to see the old world that formerly held me captive. What more can one ask for? Because once you understand and get past the silly and childish idea that you're going to start life over simply by coming up with a new resolution, making an agreement with another human being that you're going to be this or the other. Those are fine starts. But every one of us has been through the hoop enough times to recognize that making a new start and actually coming around to the self that's capable of stopping and ending what has been tearing the old self apart, that's a different story, isn't it? And I was thinking, because I want to stay on the subject of new worlds, I was thinking about choices that you know, you can only choose from the world that you're in. Like if you're in a supermarket and you're in the vegetable section, you're not going to find chocolate there. Notice how the theme returns. Because chocolate isn't a choice in the vegetable section, which is why don't go to the vegetable section. Which is why we need to understand that the world that we live in is what provides the choices we have. And it isn't our choices so much that make the world. We want to make choices that produce a new world for ourselves. But first we must recognize that the world that we do live in has choices that are limited to it by law. For instance, if I'm afraid, I don't have the choice to do anything but listen to the fears that are telling me what's necessary in order to get past this problem. Because fear only presents certain choices to a person. If I'm identified with a negative state, if I'm angry at somebody, anger doesn't say, you know, why don't you walk up and say you're sorry and tell them you're an idiot and it only happened because you're dumb. Well, one day, by the way, you will understand how beautiful that idea is. One day you'll recognize if you're negative, you're wrong. You'll actually understand that. You won't think to yourself, I shouldn't be negative. You will see that if you're negative, you are wrong. Why? Because one part of you already lives in a world that doesn't have to think about darkness. It sees it for what it is. So each broader, brighter world, represented by a new understanding of ourselves, which just for the sake of the talk I want to throw in, that understanding, that wisdom belongs to God. belongs to a living light, a great intelligence, a divine order, whose essence is uncompromised, incorruptible intelligence. You start to live from a broader world, you don't do the things you used to do. Why? Because it's not there prompting you to do it. And in scale, you begin to recognize that the things that I'm about to take on and do are not right for me or you. I'm going to say it again because it's a little poem. I'm like the Muhammad Ali of the spiritual world. The things that I'm about to do are not right for me or you. Psst, float like a butterfly. Wouldn't that be nice to float like a butterfly? Forget the sting part. We got that. So how do we do that? What does it take to actually change our world, meaning change our understanding? And so in changing our understanding, change the world we live in, literally, and then have, by its benefit, its presence, new choices, and even worlds in which choices aren't necessary anymore. I better get that in, because when you talk about a real new start, what could be better than not making a bad beginning? Who would, don't you get it? If I didn't make a bad beginning, I'd never have to apologize. If I didn't make a bad beginning, I'd never think to myself, I shouldn't eat that. If I didn't make a bad beginning, I wouldn't have to figure out how to fix you. If I didn't make a bad beginning, my mind wouldn't be occupied with what took place 20 years ago. Because let me tell you something, just as a little sidebar. Every time you try to figure out what happened 2 days, 20 days, or 20 years ago, you're making a bad beginning. You're abandoning the beginning, the true possibility of starting, in favor of being someone who's going to rectify what ruined your life 20 years ago, so you ruin it today trying to resolve it now. So I'm going to tell you a story to exemplify this missing element as well as what it is that's required on our part. Because here's one of the problems. You know the old story, I have good news for you and I have bad news for you. What do you want first, the good news or the bad news? Good news? Good news is you can start over. Bad news, ready? It's not really bad news. One day you'll know it's good news. I have double good news, but we'll call it bad news. Something's required of you. Yeah, this is, isn't that a drag? For human beings, it is. Absolutely. Because, see, I want to go someplace, pay somebody a lot of dough, which makes you a schmo, and then get all pumped up, excited about starting over, and then walk out and wonder as the heat wears off, what happened to me? You want to make a change? It starts now, right while you're listening to me, and it goes on for the rest of your life. It goes on for the rest of your life and for worlds and lives that you don't understand yet. It never stops, but only as long as you agree to make the proper start, which always involves the following that I'll explain in the story. There was once a great woman, and she was a great woman, not just in the world, but she was a great woman because her soul and her spirit and her understanding that produced the relationship itself had matured. And she was a superior court judge, which was interesting in one respect because the position itself had to do with wisdom, being able to look at the facts and make the proper decision. And this woman was often asked for interviews by various people, but she just very variously never did it because she wasn't interested in it. She wasn't interested so much in the world anymore, and you'll understand why. It's part of what made her an excellent judge. Do you know that you can't be a proper judge? Meaning you can't live from the world that sees properly the conditions that are presently sabotaging you as long as you want something from the world in which the sabotage is taking place. It's impossible. Example, quick example. If you want something from somebody, it is absolutely impossible for you to act properly towards them. Period. Absolutely impossible for you to act properly toward them if you think something about them that they have or do is necessary for your happiness. You are not the one who has a relationship. You are in a relationship that belongs to a world in which you have already sabotaged yourself because of your entrance into it. So she was quite a remarkable woman. And one day, because the story has to move along, a rather persistent reporter, finally, she just couldn't say no anymore. Which, in just for the sake of it, no element in the story is by accident. Knock and the door will open. You must ask. You must ask properly, and you must be persistent in your request for a new life. And this reporter would not give up because he sensed there was something about her. Finally, she said, okay. And they sat down, and he said, look, I have one question. I've studied your judgments, all the cases, the reports you filed, and I'm most fascinated because I don't see wisdom like that. I've been a court reporter for many, many years. Can you tell me how you achieved what you did? And she said, well, I'll tell you one story because it really sets the whole tone for everything that happened to me thereafter and that allowed me to become what I presently represent in the world. She said, when I was a young girl, I had three best friends. And, we were wild. She said, now wild may mean something different today than when I was young. She said, but we were a pretty wild group. We wanted to have fun. And we often went out together, and I was always the one, I was kind of the stick in the mud a lot, because they always wanted to do things that I didn't think were quite right, but as a rule, I'd go along and do it. And she said, and one day there was a big party at the beach, 4th of July celebration, and we were in our late teens, early 20s, and we were having a few beers and dancing and playing around, and one of the girls who was sort of the ling reader, the people who read ling, the ring leader, said, let's take a walk. So, okay, let's take a walk. And we all kind of bopped down the beach a little bit. And we got to a pier, and we walked down the pier. And when we got to the end of the pier, there was a powerboat tied to the end of it, and there was a set of keys in it. And one of the girls, the judge went on and said, look, won't hurt anything.
You're listening to Letting Go with Guy Finley. For more information about Guy's life-empowering ideas, visit guyfinley.com. We'll be back in a moment.
One reason the wind of good fortune is often found at the back of people who are successful in life is because these individuals are usually found moving ahead of it in anticipation of its arrival. Hi, this is Dr. Ellen Dickstein. The engaging words of best-selling author Guy Finley remind us that real success in life is a relationship between ourselves and a timeless greatness that lives within us. Each week, you can receive a powerful, life-affirming message from Guy, guaranteed to help you succeed with your wish for a new life. Each brief, uplifting insight reminds you that nothing can stop you from knowing the higher happiness your heart longs for. To receive Guy Finley's free weekly key lessons, just visit guyfinley.com. Join the thousands of grateful individuals who are learning how to make themselves and our world a better place. Visit guyfinley.com. That's GUYFINLEY.com.
Welcome back to Letting Go with best-selling author Guy Finley.
Let's just go for a quick spin. Come on, let's go. All the other girls first, a little reluctant. Oh, no, we shouldn't. Then a little, yeah, I can talk about it. Look how great that is. This is exactly what happens, please. I'm trying to make a point. Only first, one little part, one little thing. Let's do this, let's do that. And a certain part instantaneously kind of recognizes this wouldn't be appropriate. Saying this now, acting this out, doing that, this isn't quite right. But little by little, by a certain law of momentum, which we're going to get to, little by little the other girls start to, and she's the last one. The judge says, no, I don't. This isn't right, don't you see? She's not a judge yet, do you understand? Finally, they talk her into it. All four girls get in the boat, turn it on, power it up. And just before the one girl, the ringleader, hits the throttle, our hero, we'll call her Sandra, she says, stop. Stop. And they look at her. She says, I want out. I don't want to go. Oh, don't be silly. Don't be silly. And they start to first do the kind of general cajoling that people do when they want others to do things that they want them to do with them. But she was insistent, and she got out of the boat. Now, on the rest of the story goes that she got out of the boat and her friends took off and were not so kind. Let me tell you something. The first time, and you must find this time in your life, that you stop going along with not only the people around you, but the personalities within yourself that are telling you, come on, come on, come on, it'll be all right. The first time that you actually say, stop, I want out of this, those people and those parts of yourself, they will turn on you and you will not mistake it. And you will know why you continue to give in to those people and parts of yourself as you has always done, because you don't want to go through what she had to go through, which is this. They leave her, and you know what? She was done with them at that point. Inwardly, she was done with them at that point. A certain moment had taken place where she could not go along with the momentum of the moment that had those people in its grip. And she got out and walked down the pier, walked back towards the beach, and she was sad. Don't misunderstand this. An end had come, and she was feeling the emptiness the voices talking to her about. Now she has no friends anymore. What will become of her? What's to take place? And because of laws that you can only find out for yourself, she no more gets down near the end of the beach. Then here's this young man. He sees that she's kind of crying and sad. And he was at the party, and he walks up and says, "What's the matter, Sandra?" And she'd never really talked to him. He was a pre-law student. And she explained what happened. He said, "Don't give it another thought." And at that moment, please listen, at that moment, out there in the ocean, the craft turned over. Turned over. Now the girls were injured, but nobody died. But there was a lawsuit that followed. And she, along with her male friend who was pre-law, helped prepare the case for the girls. Even though she knew they were wrong, she wanted to help her friends out. And that's how she began her law career. She went on to tell this reporter that something had come to a complete end, and in that moment I met an individual who showed me something fascinating that I never knew was a possibility, which is what? Balance, law, justice. And now, in case you've missed the point, what I'm outlining here is that a new start took place, and a new world, both physically, mentally, emotionally, and even matrimonially, because she married the man, a whole new world took place because she left a world. And she left the world by a simple act, by a simple word. And the word is stop. 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 We must understand the relationship between the word ending and the word stopping. We want ends that aren't ends. We want ends that are reconfigurations of the movement of something that allows the initial activity, the initial thought, the initial feeling to go on, only we're going to make it better so that it doesn't sabotage us. Have you ever made agreements with people that you made because you thought at the time, remember back to the idea, I did the best I could. You made agreements with people or conditions in life based upon the idea that if you did that, it would be okay because you were going to be different and therefore you would change the situation as it went forward. And then you found out not only did the situation not change, but it got worse. Yes or no? Everyone knows what I'm talking about. Enabling human beings because of the need to keep in place a certain movement by which one knows oneself. She stopped. And she went through, and now important part, she went through the interior jarring that takes place when that which has been in movement is seen as being destructive and conflicting. And because it is seen by something that is not a part of that movement, the person ends it. It doesn't say, "Can I talk to you about this? Can we straighten this out? Can we fix it?" It ends it. We are so uncomfortable with the word end that we have whole worlds dedicated to keeping the end of everything out of sight. Unless it glorifies somebody. What a powerful, beautiful, magical word the end is. Because in the true ending of something, there is a true beginning, and you cannot separate true endings from true beginnings. It is impossible. But we cannot know the true beginning until the true ending. And we cannot know what it means to truly start over until in that moment, whatever it may be, wherever we are within ourselves, because this is mental, emotional, physical, and it's relationships as well, until we say to ourselves, "Okay, that's the end. This is where it stops." Oh, nice word. This is where. Do you remember your mother saying, "Stop it"? Do you remember how much that bugged you? "Stop that." And did you? No. But she said, "No chocolate." Then that was different, wasn't it? I'm serious. Because for us, and this is a very pivotal idea, for us, the idea of stopping, of ending that which is compromising ourselves, is always It's always, we always weigh it against something. See, if I stop this, let me count the ways in which there may be things that I don't want to happen because I have stopped it. And then if I count the ways in which I may lose something by stopping this, and the possibility of losing stuff is greater than what I think I'm going to gain, because I can't really see what's on the other side of stopping it, just like Sandra, our judge couldn't. I'm not going to stop it. All right. Another quick story, help you understand the ideas further. Top of a mountain, cold, rainy, snowy night, but it's the spring. And that same morning, on top of that mountain, the sun comes out. And the sun heats the ground and the boulders on the mountain that were formerly cold. Now, how many of you know what happens when you heat up something that's been cold? You don't know. Okay. Oh, boy, what's happened to this world? You need to understand laws, people. They're everywhere around you, acting themselves out at all times. Anyway, this is how mountains break down, folks, in the long run. They crack. Things crack. They'll snap. And that's just what happens. Big boulder up there. Sun hits it a certain point in its evolution, and that's right, in its evolution, cracks, and when it cracks, a big half of the boulder starts to roll down the hill. So here comes this big boulder, it starts to roll down the hill, and as it's rolling down the hill, there's a little bunny. And the little bunny's sitting on a slightly flat place just before it goes down again, and the bunny's eating its grass, and I can't make the face for you, I never could do that. The bunny's eating its grass, and it feels the ground tremming a little bit, and it looks up, and it sees a huge boulder coming, and it goes, in bunny world, oh no. And it starts to run. Now, the bunny is a dumb bunny. Well, look, you can't really find a smart bunny. And the bunny, seeing the big boulder coming, starts to run. And which direction does it run? It starts running down the hill. Why? Well, I got to get away from the rock. That's what I do. I run from rocks when they're coming. And that bunny starts running, and it's running down the hill. And then it looks over its bunny shoulder as it's running, and the rock is gaining on it. And so what does the bunny do? Runs faster, because that's what bunnies do. Faster and faster, and the rock's gaining on it. Now the bunny's bunny stress. You don't think bunnies have stress? They do. They have bunny stress. And it's running faster and faster and faster. Now see, please, you see, you're not... I'm talking about you, man. I'm talking about you. Why... Where do you get the idea that you're supposed... superior to the fact that your suffering shows you don't understand a thing that you say you do? You run. Something happens in life and it chases you until you think to yourself there's a chance you can change it if you turn around and meet the rock. And then you know what happens to little bunnies that turn around and meet the rock, don't you? Well, this little bunny runs down and all of a sudden it reaches the edge, and it's the edge of a cliff. Now, please listen, because this is good news. Now we learn the difference between a bunny and a rock. The bunny skids to a stop. It looks down. It looks back over its shoulder. Boulder's coming. Cliff in front of it. And it moves to the side. But the rock rolls right off the edge. Now, why does the rock roll off the edge and the bunny step to the side and go on to have a nice day eating grass? Because it's a happy story. Because the bunny knows better, doesn't it? The bunny knows better. Bunny knows that it's running, and just because it's running in a certain direction, it doesn't have to keep running in that direction. How does it know? Instinct. It knows not to jump off the cliff, because jumping off the cliff would be just about the same as letting the boulder hit it. Boulder, however, imagine a boulder. Oh no, the edge, and it stops itself. Boulders don't stop themselves, do they? Why? Because they're not as smart as a bunny. Simply put, meaning at that level, in that world, because we're talking about possibilities of worlds, the bunny lives in a world in which choices exist that don't exist for a rock. What happens when somebody makes you mad? What happens when somebody says something in a tone that sets you rolling down the hill? What happens when you're alone and you catch inside of yourself a thought and it's starting to tear you down because you haven't done this or you're not able to do that or whatever it is that it talks to you about? Can you see that thoughts, like boulders, have mass to them? Can you? It's important that you make the shift. That certain thoughts, a person will be sitting there and all of a sudden it'll start building, it'll start rolling, the state will start gathering momentum. And as that momentum is gathered, it just rolls on by itself. And may God have mercy, I hope you'll agree with me, on any human being who happens to be in front of my depression. in front of my anxiety and my rush, in front of my certainty that they are wrong for what they said, in front of my righteous anger about the way the world isn't the way that I say it's supposed to be. May God have anybody that's around me at that time. Why? Listen, because I can't see myself. I can't see myself, which means I can't stop myself. Because the only way I can stop myself is by belonging to a world that makes it evident that as long as I am captured by the momentum of this thought, this event, this feeling, and it's really only one thing, as long as I'm in the momentum of it, I have no life. Now listen, which means I can't possibly start over. I made a jump. I hope you were able to go with me. We're talking about what does it take to start life over. See, don't we think this? We think to ourselves we can start our life over, but it isn't necessary for me to start over with my irritable nature. Do you understand that point? I think I'm going to start life over, but I can't bring an end to how easily set off I am when someone doubts my judgment.
Hear Guy Finley in person. Guy lives and teaches in Merlin, Oregon, where he speaks four times each week at beautiful nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation. Visit us anytime and hear Guy's life-transforming principles in a friendly, serene, and inspiring environment. Visit GuyFinley.org or call 541-476-1200 to learn more about friendly ongoing classes. You are not alone in your quest for a new life. At Life of Learning, you'll meet others who are also seeking higher understanding, and you'll experience the power and inspiration of hearing Guy Finley in person. Plan to visit us and take the next step in your spiritual development. For information, call 541-476-1200, 541-476-1200, or visit GuyFinley.org. That's GuyFinley.org.
Can't you see that the whole of your life is made up of these rocks, of these boulders, of the way that interiorly things get set off and then they start rolling? Have you ever woken up in a funk? A churning urn of burning funk, to quote James Taylor. Have you ever woken up in a funk? When you wake up in a funk, how many of you go out and plant a flower? You wake up in a funk, man. You're thorny, aren't you? And have you ever noticed that funky states have their own speed, which is almost nothing? You know? Now, but no, listen, I'm trying to show you something. Do you know that laziness is a state of momentum? See, because it belongs to a world we can't see in. But here's a man or a woman, and they're afraid, or they don't want to, or they don't want to challenge whatever it is. There's something that needs to be done. And laziness, the more an individual embraces inside of himself or herself this fear, this reluctance, this idea, because it's always that this is going to hurt too much for me to make this change. Meaning what? To bring an end to this so that something new can start, that actually there is a certain momentum gathered inside of the mass of oneself. That thoughts actually gather mass. And as they gather mass, the momentum is the momentum of gravity. We think of momentum in terms of movement. I'm talking about momentum in terms of that which cannot be stopped in the direction it's moving. So now we have an idea that we need to develop for the next few minutes. The rock can't stop itself. The bunny could. The man, the woman, can stop themselves. But in order to stop themselves, they have to first recognize the need for it. And then, to the point of the whole talk, then they have to be willing to bear what happens inside of themselves when this self-information, self-in-formation, self-information, meaning this nature that is beginning to roll. And as it starts to roll, if I am part of it, meaning like the judge, if I'm part of this gathering of thoughts, if I'm part of this emotional movement, this depression, this fear, if I'm part of it, I have no choice but to go where it goes. I can't do anything other than that. We, in our mistaken level of development, believe that wishing we weren't doing what we were doing, wishing that we hadn't done what we said, is the same thing as changing that which took place. It isn't changing anything. In fact, I want to make this point. Most of the way in which we bring ourselves to stops, because we're talking about bringing ourselves to a stop, most of the ways in which we bring ourselves to what we think is a stop is really just a moment of self, what we call self-correction. Think about this, will you? I'm starting to get angry at you. And as I start to get angry, can you not feel the momentum in anger? As I start to get angry at you, inside of me appears a host, a series of thoughts and feelings that begin to look at this anger and say, you know what? You stand more to lose with this anger than you do to gain. And so there is a correction that takes place, which seems like a stop, that the anger doesn't go forward, but what is increased is conflict. Can you see that? Because I don't want to be this, but I can't bring an end to this. Instead, I'm going to choose to be that, and that's going to run into this. There'll be a momentary stoppage, and in that momentary stoppage, things will change enough that I won't go through that situation. And we believe that that actually ends and changes something when it doesn't change anything. Because you see, now we're making the last leap here. The real moment in which a person sees that this must stop, this is the end of this, in that moment, there is transformation. Because in the true end of something, it is born out of seeing what can no longer go on. And what sees that which can no longer go on belongs to a world whose very intelligence makes it possible to produce the stop. To produce, now listen, because this is tough stuff, the wish for the end. We start there. The wish for the end. I don't want to enable him anymore. I don't want to take part in what she's doing with her life. And we'd be talking about people outside of ourselves, and we could be talking about people inside of ourselves, couldn't we? The boulder, we can't see it. But the boulder, when it comes to the edge of the cliff and it goes off, if it could stop, the cliff itself, whereupon the boulder comes to a stop, would experience the force of the boulder. Do you understand that idea? Have you ever been in a car and hopefully not hurt, and somebody had to stop suddenly? And when the car had to stop suddenly, your body didn't stop, so you had seatbelts on, hopefully. You know, and there was a force. Oh, this is so beautiful. If you can just make all the connections, there was a force that you were riding. That when it came to an end, the force wanted to keep going. And only when the stop came did you become aware of the force that was carrying you. Only when you begin to agree to make a stop to those tormenting thoughts, to that idea that someone has to agree with you or accept the way you are or there's something wrong with them, only when you agree to come to a stop will you, in those minor moments where you're able to bring the wish forward, will you begin to discover that what has been carrying you through life was never really you. That it had no compassion in it. There was not a possibility of kindness in it. That nothing true and right could come out of that force, because it is a blind force. And then we want to find ways to justify blind forces instead of seeing and going through the proper humiliation of recognizing, I'm blind and I didn't know it. Because the proof of my blindness is what's happened this year to me. These last 10 years, these last 50 years, there's the proof of my blindness. I wouldn't set about to create situations in which I suffer or cause others to suffer. I wouldn't do it. I know I wouldn't. I know I wouldn't. God help me. And one day those will have real meaning to you, those words, those three words, such meaning to you, because you'll understand that you have been literally an unwilling participant in a series of forces that occupy parts of yourself that you have no insight into presently, but that you can have insight into when you leave the old world for the new world. That's what starting over is all about. Recognizing, not because you're wise or brilliant or strong, recognizing, you know, see how nice this is? I am so tired of being bullied around. I am so tired of being afraid. I am so tired of hoping that things will change while I take part in the pattern that ensures their perpetuation, that I'm going to have to be like that judge, that great woman, meaning this great wisdom, because that's what she represents. I'm going to have to call on this great wisdom. And I know, because I'm afraid, and don't think for a minute that you won't have to face things that you've never dreamed of. But in facing things you've never dreamed of, you come to the end of nightmares. And it is a nightmare to do over and over and over and over again something and believe that because you don't want to be doing it, that it's going to come to an end. If we want things to end, there's a sacrifice that's necessary. Didn't the judge sacrifice her friends? Didn't she? Did she miss out on anything, by the way? No. But she didn't know that, did she, when that was going on? You have to sacrifice familiarity. Because if you want to know what's part of the perpetuation of a life that's full of pain, it's that familiar state that says it'll be okay. And then our souls are compromised. Our lives are compromised. And when we compromise, do you know that when we compromise, every time that you and I compromise ourselves, do you know we compromise the whole human race, even though we don't understand that? Every time we do that, honest to God. Now, we're not saying let us jump on our own backs and hate ourselves and beat ourselves up because we all make these compromises, because presently we can only choose from the world we're in, and that's the point. Okay, I can see what I'm like. But I'm not going to hate myself, and I'm not going to hate anyone else. I'm going to make a new choice, because don't you see, hatred of oneself, judging oneself, wishing things weren't the way they were, all of these are part of a perpetuity. They keep things going. No! You'll have that inside of you one day. You'll have a real no inside of you, because no is synonymous with that stop, and that stop is synonymous with, listen to this, last point. I don't think this has ever been discussed. How many of you know that there's a very famous passage in Western traditions, Christian traditions, Judaic tradition? Moses goes up the mountain. There's this great bush, and Moses stands before it, and God, this divine intelligence, introduces himself. And how does he do it? He says, no, I won't do that. How's he going to do it? He said, be still and know that I am. Yes? Be still and know that I am. Now, what isn't said in that? Listen, be still and know that I am not this, and I am not that, and I am not the other. That's what isn't said in it. Be still and know that I am, meaning that if I'm this or that or the other, there is momentum to it, because it's part of the continuity of a self identified with its own conditions in life, good and bad. Have you ever been amazed at the fact that people can have terrible lives and cling to them as though they're precious? Isn't that extraordinary in itself? It really is, if you can see it. It's phenomenal. A man or a woman can actually be killing themselves physically or emotionally, spiritually for sure. And if you even dare suggest, which by the way, don't get in the way of boulders. Cast not thy bunnies before boulders. That should you ever even say something like that, you would be run over by the momentum of their life. So I have to bring the talk to an end now. So we have an exercise. It's called stop. Do it right now. Because as you've been listening, all kinds of things get stirred. They must. And we get caught in thinking about it. We get caught in the confusion. How about that for something that should come to a stop? Can anybody tell me the value in confusion? But we'll let the mind run, won't we? Why? Because we don't want to bear the moment of separation. In order for there to be an end, there must be a separation. And the separation is between this nature that I have been asleep in and my awakening to it and the end of my relationship with it now. Come to stops all day inwardly. Let your awareness of the movement bring you that wish for the stillness. And in that stillness, you will know who and what you are not. And then you put yourself on the side of the stop and see if you don't make a brand new start every day.
Hello, I'm Desi Arnaz Jr. You've been listening to Letting Go with best-selling author Guy Finley. To learn more about Guy Finley and his nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation, visit guyfinley.com, where you'll find a host of free, life-changing information. Thanks for joining us today.
Love, the brightest and most powerful force in the universe. Love melts stress and cancels resentment. It gives birth to kindness and is the fuel of success. Love is at the heart of every great relationship and is the true essence of lasting peace. In his new book, Apprentice of the Heart, best-selling author Guy Finley explores lessons in life only love can teach. This breakthrough book contains the tools you need to strengthen and deepen all of your relationships with family, friends, coworkers, and with the present moment itself. Apprentice of the Heart, available now at guyfinley.com and fine bookstores everywhere. Joseph Polansky of Diamond Fire magazine writes, "The reader is lifted up to a whole new realm, a rarefied region of the soul." To order your copy of Guy Finley's Apprentice of the Heart, visit guyfinley.com. That's GUYFINLEY.com. The relationship your heart longs for already exists.